Most Christian schools today use the same books, teaching methods, and structure as America's failing anti-Christian public schools. We owe it to our fathers and descendants in the faith to offer a distinctively Lutheran education. Redeemer Classical School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, offers a time-tested education in the great books of the Western world and the Catechism and Confessions of the Lutheran Church. Visit fortwayneclassical.com to learn more about our curriculum, enroll your children, or sponsor the education of young Lutherans. That's fortwayneclassical.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's very expensive to educate a child, and I'm not talking about sending them off to college. That's outrageously expensive. But just think about sending your kids to public school. You don't bear the cost directly. It's shared by taxpayers. But if you actually sit down and ask, what does it cost for this kid to be educated in 1 year, you might be stunned and you might wonder, where is that money going, especially since teacher pay, at least apparently, according to a recent report, hasn't really in real dollars, accounting for inflation, cost of living, gone up in the last several decades. Joining us to talk about a new report on public schools, Joy Pullman, mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the new book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, and a recent column titled Report, Public School Bloat, Depressing Teacher Pay, Wasted $805 billion since 1992. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
The Washington Post is reporting on President Trump's education budget. At first glance, what do you see there?
Actually, it sounds really good. And I'm laughing because this is a really terrible news week for the Trump administration. And, you kind of almost never really know what's quite going to come out of the White House. But basically, it makes nips and tucks and a lot and targets a lot of the places that needed to be targeted. I honestly only wish, and again, this is, like you mentioned, this is just a leaked report to the Washington Post. You know, we haven't seen the final yet. But if it is true, or if it, you know, as it's getting finalized, I hope that they do more faster.
So what in particular about it do you find to be encouraging in terms of education spending?
Well, for example, you know, the U.S. Education Department has an annual budget, and this is the federal level, of approximately $70 billion. It's been up to 80. It's been down to 65, you know, in recent years. But if the figures are right from the Washington Post, they're projecting about a 13% cut to that department's budget over the next fiscal year. And that's really great. It suggests eliminating a lot of programs that we've known that the federal government doesn't do well, that have been shown to be failures over the years, such as kind of what are known as wraparound services, tutoring programs, giving grants to curriculum providers. That's just really not something that the federal government does well, and a lot of their materials are garbage, just to put it simply. So, you know, that should be gotten rid of, and if it gets rid of it, that's a great thing.
Let's talk a little bit about this EdChoice report that came from economist Ben Scafidi. How would you give us the big picture of what this report shows us about education spending in the last decades?
I think the real bottom line is given, and one of the graphs that you can see inside the report, and what it shows is that since 1950, public schools have basically been on a hiring binge of personnel, and it's actually not just teachers. But since then, public schools have hired put this for an audio audience. So the student enrollment across the country has doubled since 1950. So twice as many kids. We have 2.5 times as many teachers and 7 times as many administrators. So, you know, there's some good reasons for that, but there's some bad reasons in that. But the baseline on that is, regardless of whether independent of needed increases for teachers such as integrating special education kids and integrating black and white schools in the South, in the modern era when all that has been taken care of, we're still seeing a really huge accelerating trend of schools hiring teachers and particularly administrators to the point that public schools now hire one non-teaching personnel for every single teacher that they have on staff.
How does that occur, that kind of bureaucracy-heavy education system?
Well, of course, you know, there's going to be a lot of things going into that. You know, it's happened over 65 years. But one of the main things that the report fingers that I think is really true is something that teachers are also expressing increasingly in recent years. It's kind of it's kind of a function of the fact that we have so many people meddling in local schools. You know, they're subject to so many different layers of control over them. And, you know, every, you know, paperwork, every administrator, every regulation that you give to them, and that has to be negotiated through every level and brought all the way down to teachers and classrooms, that takes time and money. So, and again, what we see here very clearly is not a growth in teachers in the classroom with kids helping them. We see a dramatic growth in essentially paper pushers. And so that, of course, is a direct directly related to the amount of regulations being placed on schools at not only the local and state levels, but particularly the federal level.
Is it because, and some people say, well, we hear about low teacher salaries, but that's a bunch of nonsense. These teachers are overpaid.
Well, you know, that's another kind of tricky question that I get into in the piece, and there's a lot of research kind of going back and forth on the issue, but the best evidence that I have seen basically concludes that the average teacher is better paid relative to his or her experience and qualifications than that same person would be if they had to look for a job that wasn't in teaching. So, I mean, that typically isn't quite on the salary level, but it's on the benefits level. I mean, of course, most teachers are on public pension systems, and until just recently, those public pension systems have been exorbitantly, you know, lavish in their benefits. You know, people can retire at age 55 or 60. They can, you know, and then, of course, people are living longer, so they're basically, you know, the retirement is a third as long as their working life, and that's really expensive for taxpayers, so on and so forth. So teachers objectively have been overall compensated more, you know, than if they'd had to get a job in the private sector. But what's actually been happening with this kind of the spending, the hiring bloat that we're talking about, is that the more administrator schools hire, the less they can afford to pay teachers, of course. So what we're starting to see is competition between administrators and teachers for the available resources that we have to pay both of them.
And it's not only who gets hired, but it's also who gets fired first, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And so one of the really interesting things that we saw, and the report talks about this, you know, during the Great Recession we had recently starting in 2008, if, you know, folks remember, we saw President Obama, we saw Arne Duncan going on television and telling us, oh my goodness, all these teachers are going to get laid off. We have to, you know, pump trillions of dollars of debt into the economy in order to save their jobs. Otherwise, the kids won't be, you know, so we heard that, but that actually didn't turn out to be what happened. So schools did slightly decrease their staff sizes in response to the recession. I mean, very slightly, just a couple percentage points, not really addressing this overall bloat trend we're talking about. But when they did that, the research found that the teachers were basically the first people to get chopped. The least likely person to get fired during the recession was an administrator.
Now, is there a solution to this? Because you say that this report from Scafidi chronicles about $800 billion since 1992 mm-hmm. of what could be credibly called waste. That's a lot of money. That's almost $1 trillion
yeah.
dollars there.
Yeah. Well, you know, $500 billion of that, you know, it could have solved our public pension crisis that relates to teachers, you know. The public pension debt that we have right now, you know, we don't have money to pay for money we promised to former teachers. That totals about $5 billion right now. So we wouldn't have that problem if schools had just hired, you know, teachers and administrators in proportion to the increase in students they were getting.
Then is the solution simply to begin to trim away the bureaucratic fat and then hire, going forward, hire only in proportion with student enrollment?
Well, I think, I mean, that sounds kind of like something that you might hear out of a state or federal lawmaker, kind of a direct approach. Well, we'll just kind of impose these controls on schools so, you know, they can't hire anymore, you know, unless it's in proportion to enrollment. What we've seen over, you know, the past 50, 60 years of increasing regulations like that is that all that does is create a complex system that requires more bureaucrats to game. So I really don't recommend, you know, going to schools and saying you have to, you know, fill out all these forms and show us that every single new hire, you know, fits our arcane, you know, student enrollment pattern, you know, data or whatever. That's ridiculous and dumb. What instead, you know, should happen is basically, you know, public schools are able to have, I think it's two major trends contributing to this problem that lawmakers should address ahead, kind of root drivers of this problem we're talking about. And one of them is regulation, and a lot of that is coming, you know, particularly from the federal government, which doesn't contribute much financially to schools, but contributes, you know, 40 to 60% of the regulatory load, depending on, you know, the study that you're using. So obviously that needs to immediately be addressed as quickly as possible, and that will help a lot with this. Another thing that really needs to happen is state lawmakers need to address their public pension issues. They need to start funding it. They need to stop promising benefits we can't pay to people. It's just lying to them, and it's not fair to them or taxpayers. But I think the other thing is really to cut out all the middlemen. Part of the reason that public schools are able to do all of this is because they have to do a lot less accounting for their spending to the end users of their product, aka parents and children, you know, because the parents aren't really cost conscious because they're not paying that money directly for their kids to be educated. You know, polls show that the average American thinks public schools spend about $4,000 per kid, and the real answer is three times as much as that, about $12,000 on average. So if you once again, you know, connect the people buying the service with the money providing for that service, and I call that, you know, parent choice, giving parents the ability to use their kids' education money and direct it according to their own priorities or their education choices, I think that also kind of helps address this problem.
How do you respond to someone who says, yeah, but if you give parents that ability, at the other end, you are going to need more bureaucrats to administer that complicated system?
Well, you know, that kind of program is a lot less bureaucrat heavy than public schools are. I mean, I get that point. But if we're just talking about going in the right direction, you know, it's way, way easier to just audit a public program that is basically a voucher system than it is to, you know, run the entire schooling system and have all, you know, regulations about every single thing teachers do, from discipline to timekeeping to how they, you know, give feedback to their students and so on and so forth.
You mentioned this just a moment ago, but I'd like your final thoughts on this. Does the American public generally have an accurate picture of what it's really costing taxpayers to educate children in the public school system?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, so beyond, you know, the data that has consistently shown, EdChoice is a research foundation that has also done state-level and national polling on what people think we spend. That's where I got that $4,000 figure. That they've been finding that for years and consistent in every part of the country and across the country. So, no, we don't really know the truth. But besides, you know, that figure about what we are currently spending right now, the public is not well informed, and I don't think honestly that many people want to be informed about the really disastrous economic situation that we've been building in this country related to public debt, to our pensions, to our entitlement programs. And you know, we don't see that money accruing to our kids and our grandkids, but it is depressing their ability already to get a job. It's a huge weight on the economy, and it is affecting us all in very substantial ways. It's just harder to see, you know, than because you don't get a bill for your tax, you know, your tax debt, your public debt that you owe.
Joy Pullman is a mother of four, managing editor of The Federalist, and author of the new book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, and a recent column titled Report, Public School Bloat, Depressing Teacher Pay, Wasted $805 billion since 1992. You can read it and you can purchase The Education Invasion at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back from the break, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, listening to him making the biblical case for the end times from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference on this Wednesday, May the 17th. After we've listened to his presentation, a conversation with Nicole King, managing editor of The Family in America, a journal of public policy, about a recent New York Times Magazine story titled, Is an Open Marriage a Happier Marriage?
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.